You may have seen a new name when you looked for the Director of Public Relations at Pasadena City College. She is brand new. Valerie Wardlaw formerly worked with the Pasadena City College Foundation. She's a member of the Tournament of Roses and a proud Delta Sigma Theta, a sorority sister of the largest African-American sorority in the world. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you, you saw them in the Rose Parade on New Year's Day. Incidentally, Delta Sigma Theta is now 100 years old. Happy birthday to them. Valerie was a guest on Over Coffee earlier this year, and we talked about Delta Sigma Theta. Now we have something more exciting to talk about, or at least equally exciting, because she is taking on her new position after Juan Gutierrez's promotion to Director of Governmental and Community Relations. So Valerie is now Director of Public Relations here at Pasadena City College. Valerie has just come into the studio. It's a pleasure to see her again. Valerie, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
What I'd like to find out, first of all, I'd love to talk with you a little bit about the issues, but first, let's talk a little bit about you and your background so people get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
Would you tell me a little bit about your growing up years?
Well, I grew up in Georgia, as a matter of fact. I'm from the East Coast, and I've been in California now about 8 years. And my background primarily is in strategic planning, public relations, and marketing. So I have about 15 years of experience in that. And most recently, I worked at the foundation as a special projects consultant. And I did that for a little bit over a year prior to coming over to the college side of things and working in the public relations department.
What was your experience with the foundation like?
Oh, I loved working for the foundation. I loved fundraising. I loved all the things that we got to do to serve students. And it was really, really rewarding because on the foundation side of it, we really got a chance to interact with students at different events. We were involved in their scholarships application. So it was a wonderful experience. And the foundation they're a great organization to work with, and they do serve PCC really well.
In fact, they did an incredible fund drive at a point when PCC was pretty much in crisis in 2012. They raised funds to pay the faculty salaries, I remember.
They sure did. And not only that, they most recently spearheaded a band campaign to buy new uniforms for the honor band. So when our band comes down Colorado Boulevard for the Tournament of Roses parade, they'll be in brand new uniforms. And it's a result of the fundraising efforts of the foundation.
In fact, I'll tell our listeners a little secret here. When they get a band pin this year for the PCC band, it actually reflects that. It reflects that they have new uniforms.
Yes,
so that's a fun
for sure.
Thing.
I know that's going to be great. It's really going to be great. It's going to be wonderful to see them in those brand new uniforms.
85th time in a row. Now, you got involved with the Tournament of Roses Foundation. I just wish you'd tell me a little bit about that before we get to the issues. How'd you get involved with the TOR?
I was just interested. I always admire what the tournament members did. And every year when I would watch the parade, I would say, you know, I really need to look in joining the Tournament of Roses Association. So I did. And this is my third year. This year, I'm on the formation area. And we actually are responsible for getting the floats in place, setting up the barricades, and all the things that happened prior to the parade starting. And last year, the past 2 years, I worked on post-parade, and that was the end of the parade site where the floats are, you know, lined up and parked so that visitors can come in and get a closer look at the floats. So I feel like I went from the end of the parade now to the very, very beginning of the parade, so I'm looking forward to it.
Now, formation is going to mean that you have a very, very early morning or a very late night, whichever you would like to consider
it. I know. As a matter of fact, I think we go on duty something like around 3 or 4 o'clock on the 31st of December, and then we're on until the next day, until about 1 o'clock. So that'll be an interesting challenge for me, staying up all night, because I go to bed.
Although, you know what, I bet you're going to have such an adrenaline rush. Do you know yet, as you just started with the formation committee, what are you going to have to do? You show up at 3-4 o'clock on the 31st. What are the first things they tell you to do?
Well, one of the first things that we'll do is along with security and police, we'll set up the barricades to start to close down the street. We do have to do that, as you know, in order to bring the floats in safely and to start to get the participants and the bands, the horses, and lined up. So that's one of the first things that we'll do. And we'll set up our operations center so that we'll be able to track the floats, keep in touch with all the different participants, and just make sure that the roads are closed and people can safely come and get into the area to see the floats as they get ready to be lined up.
And there are normally between 20 and 40 floats, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think this year we're having about between, I think it's either 45 or 46 floats will be in the parade.
That's a big parade.
Yeah, and Vince Scully is going to be our master person, our grand marshal. So that's fantastic.
How exciting. Before we leave this, what is one of your all-time favorite memories when you were growing up that made you want to be a part of the Rose Parade? What did you love when you saw it growing up?
You know what? I have to say just the beautiful floats. I mean, I've just never seen such exquisite designs made of, you know, natural products and flowers. And I think that's the thing. I just couldn't believe all the beautiful roses and, you know, just how gorgeous the floats look. I remember vividly watching that on TV when I was younger. And it really stayed with me, the memory of that.
That always blows me away, too. How in the world do they get the colors and match them and do the mosaics with seeds, everything that's been living?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
It's incredible.
So it takes great skill, a lot of great volunteers, but it's a wonderful time of year and a wonderful time to be in Pasadena.
I want to hear all about your experience after you're on your formation committee for the first time.
Well, please have me back. I'll be glad to talk about it.
I would like that very much. Now, what I'd like to know, though, is how did you find out about the opportunity as Director of Public Relations? What happened for you?
I found out about it pretty much through the foundation office. So it's an interim position, and I was appointed by President Mark Rocha, and I was happy to accept the appointment.
So now what happens for you? You accepted the appointment, and what's an average
and
day?
And so now I am off and working, and an average day, I think there is no average day. It's something new every day. It's very challenging, but I love challenges. I welcome that. It's really exciting to be able to come on shows like yours or to talk to newspaper reporters about how great PCC is, what a great community college it is, the students, the things, the programs that we have to offer here. So I consider it a privilege, really, to be able to talk about that, you know, to the community, to anyone that really wants to hear about PCC.
When we come back, what I'd really like to hear from you, and so would our listeners, is what's going on with AB 955 in relation to PCC.
Okay, great.
You and I are listening today to Valerie Wardlaw, Director of Public Relations, new Director of Public Relations here at Pasadena City College. And we'll be back in just a moment here on Over Coffee. Here's a reminder, facebook.com/Lancer Radio is Lancer Radio's Facebook page. Be sure that you like us, www.lancerradio.org. This is Lancer Radio, streaming live at lancerradio.org, and this is Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon, today talking with Valerie Wardlaw, who is the brand new Director of Public Relations here at Pasadena City College after the promotion of Juan Gutierrez. Incidentally, congratulations to him and to you, Valerie. This is great.
Well, thank you, Dot. I appreciate that.
Now, of course, you get to answer all the tough questions from nosy reporters, like me. So what about this AB 955? First of all, do I understand what this is? This bill says, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a two-tier system by which the colleges may charge for a class in demand, but it's only winter session and summer session right now?
You are exactly right. It was passed by the California Assembly. And as you said, it would allow community colleges to charge all students basically an out-of-state tuition during the summer and winter sessions, regardless of their residency. So, for example, say if tuition would normally be $46 per unit, they could actually charge up to $200 per unit.
Ouch.
Yeah, that would be extremely tough. And that is why President Rocha has said unequivocally no to AB 955. He has said on many occasions that not only is it not going to happen now, but it will not happen at PCC under any circumstances.
Now, good for him. But let's look at the logistics of this, too, because PCC is a pilot school. It's on the list. It's one of six listed that's on the bill right on the governor's desk right this minute. How does he prevent that from happening?
Well, we are listed, but we are not mandated to participate. And so we don't have to participate, and we will not be participating. So we are on the list, but we will not be participating. It's not a mandate that Pasadena City College do participate because they're on the list.
I get it. So it's a choice as opposed to.
Yes.
Well, that's really good to hear, because I looked at that thing and I thought, when has anybody ever said, no, thank you, I don't want any more money? This looks like the first step to me to every course getting to be $200 or more per credit?
Well, I mean, our concern is that, well, first of all, Dr. Rocha is just not in favor of a two-tier tuition system. And then secondly, it would really pose a hardship for one of our students if any school ever decided to do something like that. If financial aid and funds are no problem, then maybe, you know, you wouldn't mind having a two-tier system, but for a lot of students that would really impose a hardship, because that's quite a bit of a difference between what the tuition that they currently pay and what they would pay under AB 955.
I'm trying really hard to think of anybody I know for whom financial aid and funds are no problem. I am coming up blank. Not me, not anybody I know.
Right, right. Well, the great thing is that we don't have to worry about it here at PCC. It's not going to happen. And that's one of the things that Dr. Rocha wants to assure all students of and for them to hear it loud and clear, is that it will not happen at PCC, not now, not next month, and not next year, not under any circumstances. So thank you to Lancer Radio for helping us to get the word out that no to 955.
In fact, I even heard that perhaps Dr. Rocha may be putting that in writing, that it won't be happening.
Well, actually, there is a statement already on our website. So if you go to pasadena.edu, you can see and click on the news link. You will see Superintendent President says no to AB 955. And in it, he states just exactly what I've said here, is that it has been his position, as well as the position of the administrator, that they've always been in opposition to this bill.
Well, excellent news. But now, of course, I have another question about a different issue here, and
okay.
That would be about our new campus, our new satellite campus that's starting. Very curious about this. I've heard it's going to be 3 years. It's going to be a facility rented in Rosemead, and it's going to cost just under $1 million and is an experiment. Is that correct?
That is correct, and I'm happy to say that we're going to be starting classes there on October the 25th, and we're right now planning to get the word out to all students about not only the time that it will be starting, but the classes that will be offered, and when and where they will be able to sign up for those classes. So those details are going to be forthcoming in a couple of days.
Okay, so we don't really know quite yet what classes or when or where.
Well, we do know those things. We're just going to put it out in a systematic way so that everyone gets the information. And I would encourage you to have me back so I can just talk about just the Rosemead site, and we can then talk specifically about the classes and what students will need to do, those who are interested in signing up to attend, to go to that site.
Well, you'd be welcome to come back. I'd love to have you.
Well, thank you. I'll take you up on that. If I could just say, you know, it's great on the administration part to recognize the need that we do need additional classes and to be proactive and to go out and find a site so that we can, you know, actually have classes. So we are there for 3 years. It is a lease agreement, but I'm very excited about it, and I'm more excited for the students.
I'll be anxious to ask you when I can what classes, whether it would cost the students more or not, and about the transferability, because I think those be our main concerns here.
Well, please have me back, and I'll bring some others with me that'll be able to really talk about that.
That would be great. Now, I'm also wondering about something else here, and I'm not a math major. I preface this by saying, but I remember that a year ago, we had to actually do that fund drive I was referencing before to pay faculty salaries, but now we're spending almost $1 million on a satellite campus.
Now, I'm not familiar with the fund drive. Are you talking about the graduation fund drive?
Actually, no. In 2012, we were very close to not having money to pay faculty salaries. So we, and if you don't know that, because I am no math major, just like I just told you, but I remember that. But then now we seem to have a lot of money. Suddenly I'm wondering, where did that come from?
Well, we do have money from Proposition 30. And so we're fortunate enough to that pass, and we do have funds for that to pay for different classes and different things. So we're in a better position now because of Prop 30 than we were a year ago.
I get it. Well, I will ask you no further on that one, but I certainly do want to know when you're at liberty to tell me.
Oh, for sure.
And what else do you see coming down the pike in terms of issues that the students should be concerned about? We may have to continue this when we come back from our break, but I'd sure like to start.
Well, one of the things that we have coming up is October 25th is the Great California Shakeout.
And let's talk a little bit about that. Well, let's start, and then we'll just continue when we come back. If we had to describe that to somebody who had never seen Great California Shakeout, how do you describe it?
Well, it is when we have practice drills about what to do in the event of an earthquake. And it's so appropriate to be talking about this because last night, I don't know if you realized, we had a little bit of a tremor. I think it happened in the early morning hours, and I can really say that I felt it. I think it was a little bit east of us, so I'm not really sure exactly what area, but there were a lot of people in Pasadena that felt it. So this training is quite appropriate for us to have.
I want to hear some more about this when we come back. You and I are listening to Valerie Wardlaw, who is the new director of public relations, if I can just say it, here at Pasadena City College. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Great Shakeout and what it means, even if you don't sleep through it like some Californians do, like I did and wasn't even aware that we had an earthquake last evening. But there are some you just cannot sleep through. So we'll be back and tell you more about that in just a moment on Over Coffee here on LancerRadio.org. We're Lancer Radio, streaming live at LancerRadio.org, and you're listening to Over Coffee on this Thursday morning. I'm Dot Ken, enjoying talking this morning with Valerie Wardlaw, who is our brand new Director of Public Relations. We've been talking about AB 955. The word is no way. It's not getting implemented here at PCC. We've been talking about the new Rosemead campus, details forthcoming as to how that will benefit students and what we can do. And now we're talking about the Great California Shakeout. And Valerie, we're just talking about what was going to happen. We had to get interrupted by a break. So when and where?
Well, it's going to happen on October the 25th at 10:17 a.m. all over the state. We're going to actually have a drill in the C building where we're going to completely evacuate the C building as well as the D building. And we're going to teach students how to drop cover and protect themselves in the event of an earthquake. So that training is really so, so important. And we're really looking forward to that. And I said October the 25th, but I want to correct myself. It's actually Thursday, October 17th at 10:15 a.m. I want students to be ready for it. We're going to be posting flyers. We're going to be sending emails. There are trainings that are available for professors that we're going to encourage them to take, as well as staff members. So we're excited about it. I mean, it's really important. It's something that all of us should be aware of because we live in this great, you know, this beautiful state. But just to be prepared. So the C building and the D building will be evacuated and we'll have drills for that.
Thursday, October 17th, 10:15 a.m.
Yes.
Now, you and I are transplants from different parts of the country.
We are.
We've both experienced our first earthquake. Heaven forbid, but what if one struck right now? What do you do?
Well, the first thing that you and I do, we actually would be in a great position because this desk that we're sitting at is so strong, we could drop down and get right underneath it. And that's what we would, you know, we should do, is to take cover until we can safely get out. And we protect ourselves from any flying objects, things that might harm us in the process. So we could get in the center of the desk and not away from the speakers that are right here in the studio for those of you who can't see us in here, but we would be in a very safe place because, as I said, this desk is very strong, so we would just primarily take cover.
So the whole idea is get under a big item, something that isn't going anyplace, like this is bolted down.
Yes.
And pretty firm, and whatever you do, don't go see, what's going on out there.
Yes, and stay there until until the earthquake is over.
Seems an extremely important thing to teach the students.
Yes, we cover our heads with our arms for any, to protect ourselves from any kind of flying glass or other flying objects. But that's primary what the training is about, really, is to teach students to be aware of their surroundings when an earthquake happens and to go somewhere where they can have protection and where they wouldn't be subjected to things that, could fly and come towards them.
As somebody who grew up in Atlanta, what do you remember about your first California earthquake?
Well, you know what? I wasn't here when California had their last, big earthquake. So I've only been here when they've had tremors. And it's interesting because, for a minute, especially if you're asleep, which I was, you wake up and you have to get your bearings like, what's going on? But it's over so quickly, too. And, but it makes me realize that, hopefully you have an earthquake kit at home, you have a flashlight with batteries, the things that you would need. It also made me get a landline because I'm a big cell phone person as my home phone, but I realized that in an emergency, cell phone towers could be knocked out and you really could use a landline. So there are things that I've done, you know, to have as resources, you know, in the event that there is an earthquake.
And in that earthquake kit you just referenced, I'm guessing food, water, bandages,
yeah,
what else?
Yeah, crackers, food, water, bandages. I have alcohol in there.
The rubbing kind.
Yeah, the rubbing kind.
I'm thinking, yeah, stiff drink, but yeah,
wait,
the rubbing
kind. I'm glad
kind.
You said that. Yeah, the rubbing kind. Even though some people might say, well, we need both. You know, but yeah, the rubbing kind. But pretty much that's it.
Once again, the date on the Great California Shakeout, October 17th, 10:15. Faculty and staff drills are going to happen in between times. There's some faculty probably listening right now. When are the drills?
Well, we'll be disseminating that information to them. The California Shakeout has a website. I think it's www.californiashakeout.org, I believe. And they have all the information on it, you know, in terms of what to do, training manuals, just reading up on the history of earthquakes. They have a lot of statistics on there. But they and our police department, our public safety here on campus is working very closely with the California Shakeout people, and they actually will be in charge of our drills here on campus.
So much better to be prepared than to be sorry we weren't.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, preparation is always best, and the good thing is hopefully we'll never need it, but in the event that we ever do, we do want to be prepared.
Exactly. In the final moments here, Valerie, as you get into your new position, you've said it's extremely exciting, but in what ways do you most want to make a difference as a leader who is a Delta?
Well, I think one of my primary goals is just to make sure that students feel informed of anything that's going on campus, the information that they need to know, events that they need to know, what's happening, new procedures, the new opening of the Arts Center, any trainings that they need to have. I want them to feel like not only are they well informed, but they can speak about anything that's happening at PCC.
Let's touch on that new Arts Center very briefly, and it'll have to be very brief before we run out
it's
of time
beautiful,
here.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's glorious. So what you have handcrafted pianos in that thing. What have I missed that I've gone by?
Well, one of the things, not only we have Steinway pianos that are so beautiful, we're one of the few community colleges in the country to actually have Steinway pianos for our students. We have a jewelry lab. We have a new art center. We're going to have a state-of-the-art theater for performances and for concert performances. So it's a great, great building. If you have not visited the Center for the Arts, you definitely should take a look through.
Prepare to ooh and ah. Very quickly,
oh,
when
sure.
is that new theater going to be open? I know it's going to be fairly soon.
Well, right now, we're hoping to have a grand opening of every single room in January.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So 2014.
2014.
We will be celebrating that and the Rose Parade.
And the 90th anniversary of our academic year.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Valerie Wardlaw, thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You and I have been listening today to Valerie Wardlaw, who is the brand new Director of Public Relations. Let's just give some dates here really quick. October 17th, Great California Shakeout. Duck, cover, and hold at 10:15. They're going to be evacuating the C and D buildings. If you'd like some more information, that website, californiashakeout.org. That is californiashakeout.org.